The following is a relevant radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at relevantradio.com.
Discovering our extraordinary God in the ordinary things of life. Welcome to St. Joseph's Workshop with Father Matthew Spencer on Relevant Radio.
I'm so glad to be with you today, as I am every day here in St. Joseph's Workshop. God has blessed you, and He has blessed you to continue the mission that He's entrusted to you. So I'm here to walk along with you as we do that together, being the saints that God wants us to be. Welcome. I'm glad that you're here. Glad that we're here together. I want to start by sharing, there's a little illustration I can give you about something that happened in my life to get to a reflection I think that might be helpful for you. I know it's going to be important for all of our society and culture, but this affects us. This issue of consumerism affects us. Well, it affects us very deeply in this society, doesn't it? It starts actually with a new cupola for the chapel at Mount St. Joseph, where I live, right? Mount St. Joseph, it's a formation house for my community, the Oblates of St. Joseph. And originally, the original designs had this huge church, chapel, structure, building that was outside of the main complex where we live and where we have our life and where our seminarians are formed. And it was going to seat, I don't know, 300, 400 people. It was just a church, right? A church on the top of the hill right in front of our seminary. But as we built the seminary 50 years ago, I include myself in that because it's my religious community, but this is well before I was walking the earth. They were looking at this and they realized we don't have enough money to build all of this. We don't have enough money to build a big church or chapel outside of the seminary. So we're going to have to step back for a moment and look at how we can do this. So they decided to convert one of the classrooms near the front of the seminary to a chapel. And it seats about 70 people. It's a beautiful little chapel. It works perfectly for the needs that we have. And I think that was definitely divine providence that God said, you don't need a big chapel there. There's enough room for our community, for our prayers. And then when we have Sunday Mass, when we have different events, it seats the people that God invites there, right? So it worked out fine. But one of the things that a friend of ours and a benefactor of ours was commenting on is how it's hard to see where the chapel is because it wasn't designed to be a prominent central location. It just ended up being a chapel, right? It's not from the main gates to the seminary. It's off on the right-hand side. So I said, we should put a cross over the chapel. I mean, that sounds like a good idea, right? Let's put a crucifix. And then the more I thought about it, if you know me, I think a little bigger. So I thought, well, why don't we put a steeple? Let's put a steeple up there, you know, make it like so you can really see it. And then I started looking at prefab steeples online, right, just to buy. I'm trying to think of an economical solution, but something that's going to be nice and beautiful. But every steeple that I saw reminded me more of a small evangelical church than a Catholic church. None of them really struck me as a cat fitting in with our seminary structure. So I started looking up cupolas. You might not be aware of what a cupola is, but you've seen them and you know them because it's essentially a tower that usually has a rounded dome on top. Maybe your church has one of these. They're very common in Catholic church architecture. In fact, St. Peter's Basilica has a cupola on top. Now, I'm not thinking of St. Peter's Basilica at Mount St. Joseph, but I'm thinking about trying to find, and sure enough, we found a beautiful cupola, and a benefactor gave the cupola to us. It's beautiful. Actually, at the break, I meant to tweet out a picture of it. I'm going to tweet out a really cool picture of one of our brothers putting the cross on the very top of the cupola. It's at twilight. Is that sunset? When the sun's going down, it's blue. Karen's teasing me about my cupola. Did I name it Francis Ford? It's not Coppola. It's cupola. Cupola, Karen. I know, you're just teasing me. And I'm going to tweet out a picture so you can see what I'm talking about. Beautiful. And it's really attractive, really nice. In fact, before we put it up on there, which took quite a bit of work. I mean, it took the engineering prowess and intelligence of my confrere, Brother David, to work on it. And we had to lift it up using a crane-like system to get it up there. It's a big cupola, right? And we had to paint it as well before we put it up there, because we wanted it to match the trim on the rest of the seminary. And then something happened. We put it up there. We installed it. We put the cross on at twilight. Beautiful. All of this. The next day, I'm looking at it, and we have this beautiful cupola on top of a roof that needs a little bit of painting on it, that needs a little bit of touch-up. And then I looked at the rest of the seminary, and I started to realize we had this beautiful cupola that was donated to us by a friend of the seminary that now was making me look at everything else and all of the other things that needed to happen, right? All of the other things that need to be done. Have you ever had that happen? Actually, I had somebody say to me when describing this process, they said, yeah, I know the process well, Father. You buy new hand towels for your bathroom, and pretty soon you're buying new sofas for the living room. Because you buy new hand towels and you realize, wow, well, I also need a little carpet here. And then also I need to repaint the bathroom. And then I need to repaint the hallway. And then I need to get a new throw rug for the hallway. And then I need to redo the furniture inside of the living room because, and before you know it, it's led to this spiral consumerism that just almost spirals out of control sometimes, right? We get more and more stuff. Believe it or not, there is a name for this. It's called the Diderot effect, named after a famous French philosopher of the Enlightenment, Diderot. Diderot is known for having created one of the first encyclopedias, something that got him into a little bit of trouble, actually, but that's a story for another time. He also wrote this famous essay, and inside of this essay entitled Regrets on Parting with My Old Dressing Gown, Regrets on Parting with My Old Dressing Gown, believe it or not, that was the name of his essay. He talks about the experience where he received as a gift a new robe, like a new nice red robe. And he said he loved it. He loved wearing it. He loved it was nicer than anything he had. But then he said he started to realize how nothing else fit in with it. None of his other clothes were as nice. And so he had to get nicer clothes to match his gown. And then he had to get nicer seats to match his nicer clothes. And then he had to get nicer furniture to match his nicer seats. And it led to this out of control spending that he really regretted. And he writes about this because now it's what's known as the Diderot effect. He didn't term it that. Actually, that was a different individual in the 1980s, I think, who coined that term, talking about this same effect that happens in your life and in my life. That when we get one thing, if it doesn't match everything else, we tend to feel like we need to buy something else to match it. And we need to, and there are two reasons why. Actually, Diderot talks about this. He talks about two aspects of this. On the one hand, the things that we have in our life tend to shape what we acquire, right? So if you are used to getting frugal kinds of things, you tend to get more frugal things, and they tend to fit, and it creates this cohesive unity. But on the other hand, when you get something that doesn't fit, it forces you to look at everything else in light of that, and especially when it's something nicer. If it's something worse, something of less value, you usually just discard it, get rid of it, and find something else. But in our consumeristic society, how many times has it happened to you where you buy a new phone and then you need a new case and then you need something new to hold it onto your windshield in your car? And then you start to realize you need a new windshield, then you need a new car, and then you need a new garage to fit your car. And well, usually it's not so dramatic, at least not for me and probably not for James, who's with me here in the studio, because we don't have that kind of money. But it does happen in our lives where we start to consume and spend and we're never satisfied. I actually really like what Diderot said about that gown. He said that at the beginning, or no, he said, I was the absolute master of my old robe. I have become the slave of my new one. I was the old master. I was the absolute master, of my old robe. I have become the slave of my new one. This happens so much in our life. See, God doesn't want us to be a slave to possessions and to things. And although sometimes you have to purchase new things, and sometimes it's important to do that, and sometimes you shouldn't be the absolute most frugal on things, right? At least you shouldn't get the cheapest thing. You should be using your money wisely and prudently and getting the thing of the best value. It still happens that we become slaves to our possessions. And I see this happening more and more often in our society and in our culture. We become slaves to what we possess. In fact, our possessions begin to possess us, right? I mean, Jesus has some important words about this throughout Scripture. Where your treasure is, there will your heart also be, right? I mean, he encourages his disciples over and over to not be attached to material things, to recognize that blessed are the poor, he said, right? Not blessed are those who have new robes and new cupolas and new painted seminaries and new... Yeah, it's been a lesson for me too, right? And I need to be careful and cautious about this. And I can do it in the name of good things and spend money and all that. Well, luckily I have limitations in place where I need permissions to spend money and permissions to do things. As a religious, that's part of my life. And that's very helpful for maintaining that vow of poverty, right? But maybe you also need to reflect on that and say, how can I avoid falling into this consumerist attitude that can spiral out of control, where I'm spending money, collecting things, amassing possessions, imagining that they're going to give me some semblance of happiness, and guess what? They never do. They usually lead us to be possessed by them. They usually lead us to be unhappy, and so we seek out more material things. All I'm saying is this, is that if this isn't a problem in your life, if you are seeing the Diderot effect in your own life, beware, right? And be aware that Jesus has a solution for it, and that is detachment. Jesus doesn't want us to be attached to material things. In fact, he wants us to be attached to one thing alone, and that is to him, right? Because it's only in Jesus that we find peace, that we find happiness. It's only in him that we find joy. Coming up, I want to look at what Pope Francis said yesterday, talking about evil. He talked about baptism. He talked about even exorcisms. That's coming up right after this. I'm Father Matthew. You're listening to St. Joseph's Workshop.